ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट नंबर 9। न याते नायतेर आश्रमा प्रायो धर्म हेतुर महात्मना शांतस्य समचित्तस्य बिभ्रियत उत्तवात वा त्यजेत। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A peaceful, equipoised person who is factually advanced in spiritual consciousness does not need to accept the symbols of a sannyasi such as the tridanda and kamandalu. According to necessities, he may sometimes accept these symbols and sometimes reject them. Purport: there are four stages of renounced order of life: Kutichak, Bahudak, Parivajakacharya and Paramhansa. Here in Srimad Bhagavatam, considers the Paramhansa amongst the sannyasis. The Mayavadi impersonalist sannyasis cannot attain the Paramhansa stage. This is because of their impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagwan Eti Shabyate. The Absolute Truth is perceived in three stages, of which Bhagwan, or the realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is meant for the Paramhansas. Indeed, Srimad Bhagavatam itself is meant for the Paramhansas. Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. Unless one is Paramhansa stage, he is not eligible to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. For Paramhansas or sannyasis in the Vaishnava order, preaching is the first duty. To preach, such sannyasis may accept the symbols of sannyas, such as danda and kamandalu, or sometimes they may not. Generally, the Vaishnava sannyasis, being paramhansas, are automatically called babajis, and they do not carry a kamandalu or danda. Such a sannyasi is free to accept or reject the marks of sannyas. His only thought is, where is there an opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness? Sometimes the Krishna consciousness movement sends its representative sannyasis to foreign countries where the danda and kamandalu are not very much appreciated. We send our preachers in ordinary dress to introduce our books and philosophy. Our only concern is to attract people to Krishna consciousness. We may do this in dress of a sannyasi or in the regular dress of a gentleman. Our only concern is to spread interest in Krishna consciousness. In this particular verse from the 7th canto, chapter 13, text number 9, we are continuing our discussion on the various aspects of sannyas life. The material world that we all are living is the ocean of faults, especially in Kali Yuga. People are having so many negative, unwanted qualities. And the basic reason why we have come down is not that we have descended down, we are thrown down from the spiritual world where we originally belong, and we have come down to the material world, is because of envy. Because we are envious of God, envious of Krishna, so we are sent here. The envy is so very strong, that has been the cause of our fall down. And in the material world, it is, the envy is further enhanced by the environment. There was a story to how blind a person can become when he's envious. How crazy and how irrational he can become. There was a person who was worshipping ghosts. The person who was had this. Krishna says in the Gita, right, that people who worship ghosts, they go to the planet of ghosts. There are ghost worshippers. Many, many ghost worshippers. Yesterday, we had a class from Mayapur live. Radhanath Swami Maharaj was speaking and he was glorifying Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And he said, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj preached in various African countries in such extreme situations. And he was saying that while he was preaching, he was being fed poison. And people were trying to kill him. They were giving him Vodu curses, Maharaj said. I said, what is Vodu curses? I've never heard that. And Maharaj said, Vodu curses, it is a very powerful, it's not just mythological, it is something very powerful. So I went on the internet to see what is Vodu. And I mean, I didn't open the site because even the description was so dangerous. I just came out. I said, if I see it, I might get a curse. Just seeing it. And how dangerous it is. So this is, all these curses and all this black magic is done by people who worship ghosts. So this ghost worshipper was really worshipping this ghost very nicely with tremendous unalloyed devotion. Some alloyed, not unalloyed. So, you know, he was worshipping and then finally the ghost became happy. I said, my dear disciple, my dear worshipper, what do you want? You know, make a list and all your desires will be fulfilled. And of course, you know, when people worship ghosts, they don't really worship ghosts for pure divine service. They don't worship it for anything transcendental. They worship for purely material reasons. So he had a big list which he wanted to accomplish. And he was been worshipping ghosts for many, many years. And finally, the ghost became happy with him. He made a big list. And while he was submitting the list to the ghost, here is the list. 1, 2, 3, you know, car and, you know, a secure job. I don't want to get laid off. You know, all different things that he was mentioning, this wish list. And he gave to the ghost. The ghost said, there's one speciality about my benediction. That whatever you ask, your neighbor will get it twice as much. Whatever you make a list, your neighbor will get twice as much. So he, of course, he said, at least I get it. Who cares whether neighbors gets it? No. So he gave a list and he had a whole wish list, car, everything that he wanted. And the ghost said, you go out of your courtyard and you see everything is right there. So he went out and everything was there. But surprisingly, he saw his neighbor jumping. And he said, and he saw that the neighbor said, I didn't do anything and I got twice as what you have got. You got one Mercedes Benz, I have got two. And you got this, I have got two of that. So, you know, this fellow got a little depressed. You know, because he saw with his eyes that I have something, but this guy has twice as much. So he said, and the ghost said, you can make an unlimited request, no problem. It is not that you have only two or three. So he said, I make a bigger list. I said, fine, give it to me. So he made a bigger list. That's because he thought that the more I get, then I'll be satisfied, maybe. You know, then I would not care. He made a big list. And you know, this neighbor was super ecstatic. Because he said, from nowhere, I was getting it. So this person became envious. I said, what is this? You know, I'm doing all the, for years I worship this ghost, but you know, this guy is jumping. So he said that I have only one desire, oh ghost. I said, what is that? He said, let my one eye be knocked out. I said, what sort of crazy desire is that? I said, but see my neighbor, and he got his both eyes knocked off. My one eye is gone, but his two eyes are gone, so I'm happy. That's the power of envy. And that's what this material world is all about. Envy. And compare that to the spiritual world. Spiritual world is a world of madhurya ras, is a world of love, is a world of positiveness. Material world is a world of negativeness. Supreme positive stays there, Krishna. ಓಂ ಪೂರ್ಣಾಮದ ಪೂರ್ಣಾಮಿದಂ ಪೂರ್ಣಾಶ್ ಪೂರ್ಣಾಮ ಉದಚ್ಚಿತೆ ಪೂರ್ಣಾಶ ಪೂರ್ಣಮದಯ ಪೂರ್ಣಾಮ ಇವ ವಶಿಷ್ಯತೆ. ದಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಪರ್ಫೆಕ್ಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸೂಪರ್ ಪಾಸಿಟಿವ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಎಮಿನೇಟಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಸೂಪರ್ ಪಾಸಿಟಿವ್. ಸೊ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಪಾಸಿಟಿವ್. ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಅ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಲವ್. ಬಟ್ ವೆನ್ ದಟ್ ಲವ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಬಿಟ್ವೀನ್ ರಾಧಾ ಅಂಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಡೌನ್, ದಟ್ ಲವ್ ವೆನ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಡೌನ್ ಟು ದ ಮಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್, it comes in the form of compassion. That love becomes compassion. That is to say that Radha and Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking the Madhurya Ras, bringing down as Audarya Ras, as compassion. Right? That spiritual rasa of Goloka comes down as compassion. And that's why we see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his incarnation, tumare loite ami hoinu avatar, you know, he said, for you I have taken this incarnation, he said just to deliver you I have taken this incarnation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, and for that reason Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. Right, we are celebrating the 500 years of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas this year. There was a big festival in Kolkata recently, and so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas for that purpose, to really be an instrument of Krishna's compassion, which is nothing but Krishna's love from the spiritual world coming down in the material world in form of compassion, to be the instrument of Krishna's compassion, to give it to every single person that he met. What is that verse? ಅನರ್ಪಿತ ಚರಿಂ ಚಿರಾತ್ ಕರುಣಾವತೀರ್ಣೋ ಕರು ಸಮರ್ಪಯತು ಉನ್ನತೋಜ್ವಲ ರಸಂ ಸಭಕ್ತಿಂ ಶ್ರೀಯ ಹರಿಪುರದ ಸುಂದರ ದ್ಯುತಿ ಕದಮ ಸಂತಿಪಿತ ಸದಾ ಹೃದಯ ಕಂದರೆ ಸ್ಮೃತಿವಾ ಸಚಿನಂದನ. ಅನರ್ಪಿತ ಚರಿಂ ಚಿರಾತ್ ಕರುಣ, ದ ಕರುಣಾ ವಿತ್ ಇಸ್ ಅನರ್ಪಿತ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ನೆವರ್ ಎವರ್ ಗಿವಿನ್, ನೆವರ್ ಎವರ್ ಗಿವಿನ್. ದಟ್ ಕರುಣ ಅವತೀರ್ಣೋ ಕಲೋ ಸಮರ್ಪಯತು ಉನ್ನತೋಜ್ವಲ ರಸಂ ಸ್ವಭಕ್ತಿಂ ಶ್ರೀಯ. ದ ಉನ್ನತೋಜ್ವಲ, ದ ವೆರಿ ವೆರಿ condensed form of love of spiritual world was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And for that very reason, he took sannyas. Prabhupada writes a brilliant line here. Where is it? Preaching. Where is it gone? He said, preaching is the first duty of the sannyasi. Prabhupada writes here, and whenever there is an opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness, the sannyasi should be doing that, irrespective of what happens externally. What happens externally is not so important. Prabhupada says that he can change his dress. I mean, you know, he can wear a sannyas dress, he can wear something else. But the main purpose is to preach. And that's why Srila Prabhupada, our Param Guru for most of us, he was being, tormented, but he was being constantly reminded by his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta, when he was in his Vanaprastha life, take sannyas. And Prabhupada said that, I was getting scared by the thought of taking sannyas. But Bhakti Siddhanta said, now give up your house and take sannyas and travel and preach. Traveling and preaching is not an easy thing. It is said that when a cloth is kept in the sun, it becomes old. When the horse is not used, it becomes old. When a woman is not getting affection from the husband, she becomes old. And when a man travels, he becomes old. These four things. When a cloth is kept in the sun, it becomes old very fast. When a horse, it constantly don't use it, the horse becomes old very fast. The woman who is not getting affection from the husband, so husbands, please be careful. If you want really your wife to look beautiful and young, please give affection. Not for most of you here. And the most important thing, for a man who travels, the more he travels, the more he becomes old. And sannyasi or yati, yati raj, we have this place, Jatipura, which is actually nothing but Yatipura. Yati means Yatrai, who travels. Constantly traveling, not staying for more than 3 days. A sannyasi. He said that sannyasi to chalta bhara, something like that in Hindi. That a sannyasi should always be traveling. The sannyasi should be like flowing water. The moment a sannyasi stays at one place, or for that matter, a renounced order person stays at one place, he start gathering moss. So sannyasis, the purpose of sannyas is to travel and preach. And that's what Prabhupada says in the purport. The Vaishnava sannyasis, the main purpose is to preach the message of Krishna consciousness, to find ways and means to spread the mercy of Krishna consciousness. So in this, Narad Muni is telling that it is not very important whether a sannyasi has a sannyas staff and a kamandalu, or he has something else. But what more important is preaching. But we have a story, I'm sure all of you must have guessed, a very powerful story in the life of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of how attached he was to his sannyas staff. When he was traveling, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered him to be ordinary sannyasi, even though he was the Paramhansa level sannyasi, the fourth class sannyasi. The Paramhansa don't need to carry sannyas staff and kamandalu. But he said, I need to carry. He was not considering him to be great, even though he was a supreme Hansa. Hansa means a swan. And the supreme most swan was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who can be a greater sannyasi than him? But he was still carrying his danda. And when he was about to go and have darshan of Lord Jagannath, at one place, very, very wonderful place, just two-thirds distance covered from Bhubaneswar, he came to a beautiful temple of Kapoteshwar Mahadev. He said, I wanted to have darshan, and he wanted to take his bath in the river that was flowing there and give his sannyas danda to Lord Nityananda. And Nityananda Prabhu is a amazing personality. And of course, this particular pastime was very brilliantly explained by His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj during Nityananda Tridashi festival. Beautifully explained that this is such a deep pastime. But just to cut it short, Nityananda Prabhu was saying that what is this danda doing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? What is the need for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to carry a danda? And secondly, why should he carry eka danda? He's a supreme Vaishnav. He should be carrying three dandas. So first he made the danda into three. I said, but now what is the use of being three also? He threw it because there is no need for you to be carried. He threw it in the river. And that's how this place was called Dandabhanga Nadi. This place became known as Dandabhanga, where the danda was broken. Said, I was just thinking that every small place where this great personality is performed pastimes becomes glorious. We break so many sticks, so many ways. And I was at Vada farm recently. And, I was going with two, three of my friends, and there was a big stick, and we broke into three because we wanted to have a stick and walk. And I reminded him, I said, we are breaking a stick, but is this place going to be called Dandabhanga something? No. But when great souls do anything small, it was not small also, but even just a place where they broke the stick, it becomes glorious, becomes worshipable. People for rest of eternity will come there and take their bath there. Because why? Because Nityananda Prabhu broke the danda here. Amazing. Right? So that this pastime Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to know, and then he said, give me my danda. And he said, which danda? And then we know the pastime. He said, well, you know, you were dancing in ecstasy and the danda broke and it fell into the... And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so upset externally. I said, how can I not have my danda? I'm a sannyasi. And how can I not have a very part of my own existence? This reminds me of a story of which I heard recently of about His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. He was carrying his danda. He had gone out of Bombay. So when he goes out of Bombay, he has this danda. See, he was going, and then he came at the airport, and the police person, he stopped him. I said, you cannot take this danda. This danda has to go in the check-in luggage. And he said, this danda will remain with me, no matter what you do. He said, no, you cannot take this danda. Then he said, okay, I stand here and nothing happens till you tell me to. Everything stopped. And there was a long queue of passengers behind. And Maharaj didn't budge from the danda has to come because, you know, it can't go and check in luggage. So then his superior boss saw that there was some commotion. And so he came and he asked, what is the problem? He said, no, this sannyas, he can't take this. And Maharaj explained, what is this all about? The person said, no, please let it go. So then, of course, Maharaj took the danda. And then again he went to meet that security. I said, very good, you are doing your job very well. You are doing a good job. It is your duty to stop, but it is my duty to carry it. So what I was trying to say is, sannyasis should have their danda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his danda. But in this particular pastime, Nityananda Prabhu said that why should Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have danda? Because he is a Paramahansa sannyasi. Why should he carry a danda? As explained here. But I was thinking that what is Prabhupada and what is Srimad Bhagavatam trying to teach us? None of us here are sannyasis. Maybe in the future, many of you would. But at least not now. So what are we going to learn? We say, well, oh, it's a nice story. Danda should be there, not there, doesn't make a difference. But how does it apply to me today? Today, Bhagavatam class, I'm hearing, but how does this apply to me? The purpose of Bhagavatam is achieved when we can try to extract the Siddhanta that it is trying to teach, and every syllable, and we'll talk of every verse, but every syllable is trying to teach us something, you and me individually. That's Bhagavatam. So what we are trying to learn from this, at least from my tiny little brain, is that we should be focused on the purpose and not the externals. That's what Bhagavatam is trying to tell us. The devotees have to be focused on the core principles of Krishna consciousness. Just to give a parallel. There's a big businessman. He starts his business in 1960. That's the time he started his business. And maybe he started his business with manufacturing of steel, for example. You know, maybe. And then he grew. And then right now, he has multiple businesses. You know, he is into information technology. He is into this, in pharmaceutical, this, that. I met a person like that. But he said that my core business is steel manufacturing. Because I started with that, and that's where my core competency lies. That's where my core strength lies, in steel. It could be many other things that he started in due course, but the core thing is this. And I was thinking with my to draw a parallel in my own life, that we have been devotees for last so many years. Many of us have spent, you know, a decade or half a decade or 2 decades, maybe 3 decades in the case of our worshipable Prabhupada disciple here. We have spent so much time in Krishna consciousness. But in due course, at least in my case, that I have forgotten the purpose and got attached to the externals. That's the problem. When, in this case, when a sannyasi becomes attached to only his externals, no, I will take my danda and I have my kamandalu, but he forgets the purpose of danda and kamandalu. The purpose is so that he can preach, because when he carries the danda and kamandalu, people know he's a sannyasi, so people worship him, respect him, and from the respect, they will listen to what he says. That's the reason a sannyasi carries a danda. It's not a style, it's not that something, he looks different, that something is jetting out of him. The purpose why the scriptures tells us to do something, why we have a shikha, or why we wear a tilak, the purpose is so that people see us and they think of Krishna. Right? So, over the years, many of us devotees, we become very externally oriented. I was discussing with a small group of devotees we met 2-3 days back. And I was asking them, because this was a big question in my own heart. This was a great concern in my own heart. That when was the last time that we did wonderful dancing kirtan? Of course, it doesn't apply to you all because you all have kirtan every day in the temple. I'm asking for the congregation. When was the last time we did kirtan? where we danced in the kirtan of, because I saw in the Pune Yatra, many of them, it felt that they were dancing after a year. It was like a new thing for them, you know, to dance. Because, you know, they had not danced for year, maybe for a year. I saw them and they were, and the steps were different and they were quite disoriented. And then what dawned upon us is that when we come to Radha Gopinath temple, when you go to any temple, we are so externally oriented, we are so busy with projects and so busy with activities that we forget the core purpose of why we come to temple. I met one devotee and asked him, you know, wasn't Radha Gopinath looking so beautiful today? You know, what a beautiful dressing. I said, Prabhuji, I didn't have darshan only. Huh? I said, you go to a temple and you didn't have darshan, what did you do? Did you go to the, did you go for management to the temple? It is not a management institute, it is a temple. But we make the temple a management institute. We make the temple a sales go down. We make the temple a socializing place where we talk and talk and talk, nothing comes out of it. And we make the temple a chart shop. A place where we get different type of charts and different type of food to eat. But we don't focus on the core purpose of why we come to temple, or why we come to kirtan, or why we come to for Bhagavatam class. The purpose of doing all these activities is so that it can go within our heart and it can bring about a change in the heart. That's why we do kirtan. Kirtan is not meant, you know, is not, you know, many times when this kirtan, you know, there's, I mean, it's just, somehow it happens that, you know, some devotees come in the forefront and they start dancing, and, you know, others are sitting more, and then somebody pulls them and they start dancing. You know, all this activity of pulling the person and dancing is for the puller and for the pulled. It's meant for purification of the heart. It is nothing external about it. When we come in front of the Lord, we should be exclusively having communion with the Lord and nothing else. But while we are on the stupid phone rings when you are in front of the Lord, and we just lose all focus. It's such a disturbance, this thing. I would have, you know, we are doing the most private thing of our life, chanting Hare Krishna with the Lord. We are talking about with some devotee, very intense things, and it rings. And we lose the focus. We become so management oriented. All of us. I'm sorry, not all of us. At least I can't judge others. This is the problem. So when we lose the focus on the core areas of what Prabhupada has told us, chanting, dancing, feasting and philosophizing. Feasting is there, but at the right time. It's not that we can feast all the time. I was telling the congregation that prasadam is being served in the temple. It starts maybe at 3 o'clock, you know, as soon as the Sunday feast lecture is over. But it's not meant for you to go there. If you are a committed devotee, you are supposed to dance in the kirtan. That is for the guest who can be served prasad fast. They need to have prasad. But we say, oh, prasad is served, so let me just go there and, you know, just... And then you sit and hear prasad for 2 hours. You're talking and talking and talking. And you don't come to temple and have darshan of the Lord. So sad. Something wrong. BMR. Basic Merada. it's some basics. Something has gone wrong in the basics. We are really into BMR. So this happens. This happens when we are not focused. When we get attached to externals. And you know, by Krishna's great kindness and mercy, Prabhupada's mercy, there's so many activities going on in Radha Gopinath temple. So many wonderful activities. It is a great benediction, but mind you, it is a great diversion. It's a great diversion also. If we don't focus on the core areas, then those activities become external, become mundane. And in due course, we will simply do the activities externally and we will lose the inner substance of why we should do the activity. We become like this, like a sannyasi carrying the danda, but you know, why I'm carrying danda? Oh, I don't know. Man, I'm just... That's how it becomes so external. That's what the verse is telling all of us, brahmacharis and grihasthas. Don't become external. If you need externals, you use it, but use it so that you achieve the core purpose of why you are here. To purify your heart. We go to yatras. It's the holiest of holy places. We are at, you know, we are at Rupa Goswami Samadhi. What a place it is. Unlimited mercy is available there. But then somebody talking, Prabhuji, that room is under litigation, court. And all this in discussions. We are in Rupa Goswami Samadhi. Why the hell you need to discuss about what's happening to that room? I mean, you need to discuss if you need to really, if you're playing a role. But we love to do management. We love to really discuss issues. Love to discuss solve issues. It's good. By the right time. It has its own time. What about your own self? What about your own self-management? So that's what... So what I wrote is that it is important to be attached to the purpose, P-U-R-P-O-S-E, and not to the pose, P-O-S-E. Not the pose that you are in, but the purpose of the that we are here. Srila Prabhupada and all the great acharyas, they did whatever they did. Big temples was built, big book distribution was happening, wonderful things were happening. But the main reason, yesterday we were doing Bhagavad study circle in our group. Govind Prabhu and others were there, and we're discussing. And one participant came out with a wonderful point. In the 12th canto, it is said the reason why a jiva soul is there in the material world is because it has forgotten to worship his spiritual master. So when he comes to the spiritual material world, he is again trained to worship his spiritual master. That's what the verse says. That we all have forgotten to worship our spiritual master. So when we are focused, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chitite Koriyo Akya, Arana Koriyo Mane Asha. What a brilliant line. It's like a mission statement for all of us. It's a mission statement. What is the mission? Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chitite Koriyo Akya. The mission is to establish the instruction of the spiritual master as your life and soul. Spiritual master has not told us to really do management. Did you take a vow of management? You took a vow of purifying your heart. And management came along, which is important, is very important. I'm not saying it is not important. But it tends to divert our attention from the core purpose. So, Prabhupada writes in the last line, very important. Our only concern is to spread interest in Krishna consciousness. And how can you spread if you don't have it yourself? And mind you, you may get it and you might lose it also. It's not that once you get it, you don't lose it. You may become a lukewarm devotee. What stops you from becoming a lukewarm devotee? A hot water, you put cold water in it, it becomes lukewarm. So if your heat of enthusiasm is mixed with your so-called mundane attachment to management and to activities based and not consciousness based, then you might become a lukewarm devotee. And if you're a lukewarm devotee, then what happens? You're spit out by Krishna. Either you're hot or you're cold. If you're lukewarm, I spit you out, Jesus Christ says. Krishna has nothing to do with you. You're lukewarm. You know, we don't enjoy any of these worlds. You become like a dog of a laundryman. So that's what we need to focus on the core principles of Krishna consciousness. That's what this verse, I mean, though it is talking about sannyas, but that's how it applies to all of us. That's what I think in my own personal life, that how we can really help each other and all our friends to really be focused on the core principles of chanting nice rounds, of dancing in the kirtan in unison. Dancing in kirtan is not meant only for neophytes. It's meant for everybody, including the neophytes. I know, in my own life, I was questioning myself, when was the last I attended the Naam Sankirtan, which happens on 12:30 and on Sundays? And I don't even remember when I last attended. I don't even know. I'm not here. And that's how slowly but surely Maya, you know, just disrupts your focus from the core principles. You could be doing service. I mean, I know, definitely. But ask yourself. Ask yourself. So let us really focus on this core principles of Krishna consciousness. And, you know, by this we will purify ourselves and we'll purify all others whom we meet. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. I'm sorry, is there any additions or any questions? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.